Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to...
Hello, everybody. God bless you today. This is Susan Puzio, and I want to welcome you to the Prophetic News Radio broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. And we have a special guest for you today, Brenda Johnson of As the Day Approaches, also on Blog Talk Radio. And we will be talking about Kabbalah and the Hebrew Roots Movement. So we'll be bringing our guests on momentarily. And we'd also like to tell you that we have a YouTube channel. We're still working on getting our YouTube channel up. And our new channel is Prophetic News TV. So you can go there and look at some of our videos. We also have a website, propheticnews.com. That is available for you. There was a few items in the news this week. More lawsuits coming to TBN as we see God's judgment coming upon this ministry. Sad to see, but truly God is not mocked. So whatever a man sows, if you sow to the flesh, you'll reap corruption. And so we'll be looking for more headlines with the TBN lawsuit that was filed by their granddaughter alleging financial improprieties. So when you have to spend $50 million on a jet for yourself and you have 12, I don't know if they have 12 mansions or 32 mansions, this is how they're spending your tithes and offerings. So it's not right. We should never abuse God's people in such a way. Also, Mike Murdoch has put his $3.2 million mansion up for sale. I don't know why. But anyway, you can look it up on the internet. It takes you through a virtual tour of the house. So there's some interesting things happening. Anyway, we'll be bringing our guest on. Hi, Brenda. Hi, Brenda. Hello, Brenda. Oh, well, I don't know what's happened to my guest. I can't hear her. But anyway, let's see if we can get Brenda on here. Hello, Brenda. I can't hear her. Brenda, if you're listening, I can't hear you for some reason. So we'll wait and see if we can get her back on here. But I can't hear her. So let me know if there's anybody in the chat room, if you can hear Brenda, or if you can hear me. I would like to know that the sound is on. So anyway, just give me a few minutes here and let me see if I can get Brenda on the air here. But we're going to be talking about this Hebrew Roots Movement, and I myself, I'm not real familiar with the topic, but I asked Brenda to come on the program today and asked her what was on her heart, what she felt like she wanted to share, and she brought this topic up, and I thought, wow, I was really excited because it's a great topic to talk about Kabbalah the New Age movement and the Hebrew Roots movement. So, Brenda.
Do you hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know what happened. I heard you,
I
but you couldn't hear me. So
no.
I hung up and called back in. So.
Yeah, well, that's great. So now we have a connection. But I was just telling the listeners that I wanted to have you back on, and I asked you what was on your heart, and you brought up this topic about Kabbalah and the Hebrew Roots movement, and I was so excited. I said, wow, that is a great topic because I've never talked about it. I myself don't know that much about it. And so I am eager to learn hear what you have to say.
Well, I've been eager to talk about it because, as you know, on my show, I've been doing shows on Israel for probably, I have about 22-hour shows
wow.
on just Israel.
Wow. That's a lot of information.
Right.
I could never do that because I don't know that much about the topic.
Well, you know, you talk about all different aspects, about the tabernacle and the temple, and then you talk about the issues in Israel, and you talk about all different kinds of things about Israel. But one of the things that I've been doing on some of the Facebook group sites that I've been part of is debating some of these Torah observers, Hebraic roots observers. And for a while, I just, you know, would acknowledge them as false teachings. You know, I didn't really want to debate them because I wasn't quite ready to do so because it's kind of involved. And then I took them on. I actually found somebody's picture that says Yeshua is the Torah. And I posted that on one of a group site. And then I said, this is a false teaching. And I did it on purpose to smoke out some of the Hebraic roots people I
well,
saw.
Now that you were ready, you had your information, and
right,
you were ready to go. Yeah.
Yeah, so I did it on purpose, and I apologize to the person I did this to on their group because I started a firestorm.
Yeah.
So yes, and it was a pretty good debate, and of course, you know, when I start to debate, I know a little bit about my subject, or at least some to know that I can debate it.
Yeah.
But also, debate helps me to fine-tune what I know about
yes.
it. So.
Yes, so. Because we do learn from each other. There are so many things I've learned from you, and I know I've said it before that Brenda is really one of my favorite Bible teachers because I always learn something from her that she spent so many hours studying that I haven't done, and that's why we need each other. And there's so many topics in the Bible. There's so many interesting things to talk about. And I appreciate people like Brenda that spend time studying God's Word and then bringing these programs because sometimes I felt like I should call this program Prophetic News Radio Church because on Saturday when I do the programs, I feel like I've been in church and my guests have preached a sermon to me.
Hey, yeah. And we do learn from each other. So, a lot of people don't know that I was very involved in some of the Hebraic cultural things in the 80s when it was starting to get popular. I participated, and then I taught folk dance, Jewish folk dance.
Oh, yeah.
Also, we as Gentiles, our group, represented Israel in the International Fair in downtown Nashville, Tennessee. So we did things like we did at weddings, and then we did, we had 90 dancers in the March for Jesus.
Oh.
In 1990, you know, so, I was quite involved in that. And then I took it to college when I finished my year of college and taught a group there and taught youth. And so
And you had your costumes, and you had your shofars, yes. And you had
I didn't have a shofar. Sorry, they were too expensive for me.
Your flags and...
Yeah, flags and colors and non-colors, and yeah. Yes. So I did a lot of that, and I really have a heart for the Jewish people, as, you know, I've done 20 shows on them.
Yes, absolutely.
And our heritage is in... we think, you know, blessed be the Jews, for salvation comes through the Jews or from the Jews. So, and I'm giving them a lot of time. But and you asked me if something is burning in my heart, and yes, this is burning in my heart. Some of these sects that have risen in the last 15 years of the Hebraic roots type of movements, and they are just everywhere. Now, these movements that are coming out of what was, you know, everything is a good thing until it's, you know, taken out of context and expanded on in the wrong way.
Then it almost becomes a cult.
These have become cults. The Hebraic roots movement now is a cult, a sect. It's also called the Jewish Roots Movement. There's a few more names. There's a Sacred Name, Body of Messiah, Ephraimites, True Israel, Assemblies of Yahweh, the Kingdom of Yah, and that's YAH. These are all sects and cults now today. Some of the Hebraic roots, you know, sites that are out there are legitimate and okay, but... these other, most of them today are cults, and they lead people away from Jesus. They sound like they're going to bring them to Jesus, but they lead them away from Jesus. We're going to talk about Kabbalah as well. And one of the things that I have, and you do too for doing the shows you do, is discernment ministry, you know.
Yeah.
And so you have to, you discern. And, you know, I thought, I've been studying some Kabbalah, and, you know, I just kind of got interested in what is this Kabbalah.
Yeah.
Really. And it is actually Hebrew wisdom. It is Hebraic. And if you saw Madonna at the Super Bowl, you wouldn't have known it was Hebrew-oriented, you know.
No, I didn't watch her. I turned her off. The game was good, but I turned Madonna off.
Yeah, I'm a Super Bowl person. I'm a football person, actually.
Yeah, I loved the game, but I thought that was the worst choice they could have had for a halftime program.
Well, you know, I'm kind of glad I did see the Madonna halftime, because it was Kabbalah.
Oh.
It's occultic Kabbalah. And
occultic.
It all is, generally, you know.
Yeah.
Mysticism. It's Hebraic mysticism. And the Hebrew people, when the temple was destroyed in 70 AD, were dispersed throughout the nations. And what developed from them is a mystical type of honor or religious experience. And it really came out of the second century, where they started to do a mystical type of worship of Yahweh, of God. And it became very much occultic. And now they're saying that they don't even have to have the temple or the original process of atonement, which the temple provided that example of how they had to get in relationship with God. It's a path called the Tree of Life. They actually get to engage and eat off the Tree of Life. That's the path in which they're taking to get to God or Godhood. And it is a different path that leads them away from the true God. It is a path, but it's without the temple, it's without atonement, and it's without the need of forgiveness of sin. You can have a relationship with God without all of that. And so the Kabbalah, which appears or tends to say that you can get closer to God, is actually pointing you away from him, because it was the tabernacle and the temple that pointed people to Jesus, that pointed people to atonement. It was the journey in the tabernacle. So when somebody on the Hebraic Roots movement, when I saw that picture and said Yeshua is the Torah, I said that's a false teaching, because Jesus is not the Torah. Jesus is actually the journey in the tabernacle. He was the fulfillment of Torah, or the penalty of Torah. He was one who came and fulfilled what the Torah demanded. And that's what he did in the journey of the tabernacle, because he said he was the door. And there's only one door to go into the tabernacle.
Yes.
Or into temple court.
One way.
One door, and it was brightly colored. The rest was white. If it was the tabernacle, there was a white canvas sheet all the way around, or linen around the tabernacle area. And then the door was very colorful, so you didn't miss it. There was one door, and at that door, you couldn't even go into that area unless you had your sacrifice for the sin offering, which that was the first thing you did, is you presented your sin offering at the door of the court, and you brought it in, and you sacrificed it for your sins. Then the priest took over and took the sacrifice and represented you in burning incense before the holy place. And so Jesus was the burnt offering. He was the sacrifice. He was the incense and the priest in the Holy of Holies representing us. He was the light in the holy place. He was the incense and the oil and the atonement for everything. He was the whole entire journey of the tabernacle. So without the tabernacle and without the temple, there's no pointing to Jesus.
Right.
So,
what do they mean when they say Jesus is the Torah? What exactly do they mean by that? Because I've heard similar things where these groups only study the Torah. That's the only book they read in their meetings.
Well, they read the Torah, and then they read the Midrash and the Talmud and all them. These other sacred books as well as the Torah. But what do they mean? They mean that Jesus pointed to the Torah, that he gave light to the Torah. Torah to them means teaching, which is teaching, but it is also the law. And
so do they include the New Testament in that?
Yes. So the ones I debated on the Hebraic Roots on this particular topic, yes, they did, but it was a really warped sense of who Jesus was. I also said that Jesus was the Logos. I said Jesus is the Logos, he's the Word, and then they debated me on that and said something.
Wow.
Like, I don't know where they're coming from with what they told me. At that point, I didn't study the Kabbalah. I didn't, go and seek out what that was.
Yeah.
When I did study the Kabbalah, I went, "Ah, oh, that's what they mean. They were talking about Kabbalah. They were actually debating me with Hebraic Kabbalah."
Oh.
And I don't know anything about Kabbalah, so I didn't
even
know going with it. So, I kind of discerned, I thought, well, what is the Hebrew Roots movement and the Kabbalah? Do they go together? Do they are they connected somehow? So that's why I started studying it. And I was like, wow, I'd like to be wrong. Really, I like to be wrong sometimes, but it is. It is Hebraic roots movement and the Kabbalah go hand in hand. Now, I found a really great page, 25 questions about Kabbalah.
Yeah.
Okay, and that was really enlightening, and it was from a Hebrew rabbi. Okay, so, and you go through and you try to figure out, you know, it's real elementary about what Kabbalah is, and they define it as a system of wisdom that teaches the truth about the one God, creator and ruler of the universe, and the Holy One, blessed be He. The Kabbalah teaches about God's relationship to the world and provides ways that seekers of the truth can discover and connect with God in this world through actions, words, and thoughts. And then that sounds okay and fine until you read the next one. It says the Kabbalah contains the secrets. Whenever you hear secrets, you got to have your intent.
The secret mystery.
Yes, the secrets of creation. As handed down by patriarchs Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, by Moses,
yes.
prophets, and by the later elders, true prophets, righteous Zedekim, which saints and sages of Israel.
They notice that they leave out Jesus whenever they
right.
leave out Jesus. The alarm bells could go off. I had when you were talking about the door to the tabernacle, and of course we know Jesus is the only way, so He's the only way in. But I had a friend of mine one time, and she's not a believer, and she said, "Well, you know, there's many paths to God." So I said, "Oh no, Jesus is the only way." So she said, "Well, who said?" I said, "Well, He said." He said, "I
care?
Am the way."
Did she care that He said that?
Well, I mean, the thing is, when you're talking to somebody that doesn't know Jesus Christ, I could feel that that word of truth, it hit her. It hit her. And she had to really think about it. So I know that ever since then she's thought about it, because
sure.
We know that as born-again believers. We know who Jesus Christ is, and our search is over. But these people, they don't know Him. They don't know that there's only one way. And if God said, no man comes to the Father, Jesus said, no man comes to the Father but without Me. So you can talk about God, and you see, yes, they talk about God and the mystery of the ages, and you can know the secrets, but yet they leave out the Savior, the Messiah.
They do. And in these teachings, these teachings on the Hebraic roots and the Kabbalah, and both of them are doing this. This is both. That's why I say they're connected. They teach the innermost wisdom of the Torah. The innermost wisdom of the Torah. What in the world is that? So that is like the secret of the Torah.
Yeah, what is that? The innermost wisdom. But, you know, they have a program. They have actually a whole channel, Jewish Living Television. I don't know if you've ever seen that. I know it's on DirecTV. And it's a Jewish-owned station, and all Jewish people broadcast. And they actually do have lessons. I've never watched it, but they do have a school, Kabbalah school.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, I have not seen that. I've pretty much been, you know, doing it on the Internet. You know, I love the Internet.
And I thought it was interesting that they actually have the classes now on TV, on the Jewish channel.
That's because it's extremely popular now. It's really popular. And because of even Christians, they have Christian Kabbalah. They have, what in the world? Christian Kabbalah.
No.
Yes, they
no.
do. Yes, and Christians are engaging in this innermost wisdom of the Torah, which if they only knew what Kabbalah says about Jesus.
What does it say?
The rabbi. Okay, now, One of the questions, and this is on that list, you know, there's 12, 25, and on number 12, I had to share this. That's why I have, you know, it says, the study of Kabbalah and what it means. It says the indiscriminate teaching of the inner secrets of the Kabbalah to all comers was always and still is discouraged by true Mechabalim. Those are the teachers. Because the question was, is it dangerous to study Kabbalah? Is this a dangerous thing to get into? And so they're answering it, says the authentic recipients of the tradition, the past and present, they, you know, have always told you to be careful about studying it. And then they said great damage can be caused when knowledge of divine names, letter permutations, and their power in the spiritual and physical realms falls into the hands of those who are insufficiently mature or worse still, intent upon evil. So here you want to see the secrets, but be careful because these are dangerous secrets.
Yeah, well, it kind of sounds like these pastors that practice this shepherding and this authoritarian rule over people. Now, wait a minute. Don't do anything unless you consult us first. Now, be careful because you're young.
Right.
Get your Bible teaching from us.
They advise you not to learn Kabbalah on your own without sages. You really have to have the right teaching. And say, and they say because of the very holiness of Kabbalah, it becomes distorted when the receiving vessel is unholy. Now listen carefully to this. An enthusiastic beginning student who has not yet cleansed himself of physical desires, pride and other negative traits may seriously misunderstand and misapply powerful Kabbalistic teachings, causing psychological, emotional, financial, or even actual physical damage to himself, those around him, and those under his influence. Listen. The false prophets of biblical times possessed fallen Kabbalistic knowledge, which they exploited to entrance large crowds. One of the most notorious unfit students was Yeshua of Nazareth, who the Talmud burned what he cooked in public.
Wow, that's terrible.
If you are going by Kabbalah, those who could only be the right teachers had to be holy vessels and pure and desirous. He was the worst of the worst.
This is straight from
their mouths. This is even quoted out of the Sanhedrin 43A 105A. This is actually a quote out of the... Yes,
I never heard that, but that goes to show you how demonic it is, because of course only the devil would say something like that about Jesus Christ.
Correct. And people don't know that this stuff, what it's saying and how much it is going away from Jesus. Christians are getting involved in this through the Hebraic Roots movement. Have you ever heard, now, and maybe the audience, whoever's listening today, have heard these things. Have you ever heard names of Jesus such as Yahshua or Yahushua or Yahshua or Yeshua or
Yusuf, you know,
or all of those sacred names and true names? Have you heard somebody? Have you heard somebody, you got to say Yahshua. You can't say Jesus because... Did you know that Jesus was the name of a Greek god?
Oh, really?
Yes. So you have to say it just right. You have to say Yahushua, which is Y-A-H.
It sounds like such bondage. It's such bondage.
Yes. The Torah is the law, and it's following the decrees of the Torah. it's Christians going back to what Paul said, not to, that we are free from. It actually says that, you know, many Jews who have accepted Christ as Messiah are attempting, as the Jewish Christians in the early church, to mesh grace with Judaism under the Old Covenant, making all-inclusive with one another the works of the law. And Paul was the one who actually said, the works of the law, if you go by the works of the law, you do not have grace. They go to the extent of saying that that somebody else wrote those books that Paul criticized the Jews on, and so therefore it was not translated right or whatever.
Why would I want a Bible if it's not translated the right? Why do I want a Bible with mistakes?
They proclaim that the Hebrew scriptures are the authentic scriptures and not the Greek text. Therefore, what Paul is saying, it has been mistranslated to Greek when it was actually, the New Testament was written in Greek. You know, it wasn't written in Hebrew.
Yeah.
The basic in Hebrew. It was. And so, yeah, they say it was written in Hebrew and then translated to Greek. No, it was written in Greek.
Yeah.
So
that's like the spirit of confusion. It just sounds like a. But that's right. How all of these religions are. Any false religion or any cult. It's so confusing. You can never figure out exactly what they're saying. Remember years ago, before I was saved, and reading some of these Eastern religion books. Someone had given me some books by Rajneesh, and I didn't understand a thing he was saying. I guess I just have to keep reading it. Maybe I'll figure it out. But it's a spirit of confusion, and it keeps people confused, and it keeps them away from the simplicity of the gospel, because the gospel is simple. Yeah. To understand, we'll never in this lifetime get to know God fully, because it's going to take forever to get to know God. If we see through a glass darkly, the Bible says, but we have His Word, and it's easy enough to pick up your Bible and read it for yourself. And sometimes you're better off than trying to have some of these people interpreting things for you, and then you just become confused and you probably get depressed. And it really must be awful to be wrapped up in this kind of foolishness.
Well, you know what? Those who are wrapped up in it don't feel that it's foolishness, because you know how we are as people. We want to make our own way to God. You know, we want to work our way to, you know, righteousness.
Yeah.
When cannot do that. It's
no,
harder for us to receive something that we don't deserve than it is to do something, even if it's wrong.
Yeah.
Even if it's the wrong path, but at least you feel like you're doing something to gain your respectability or your...
Oh, yeah, in favor with God. You're trying to do something to gain your favor with God. It's the same way with the whole financial thing. I mean, it kind of reminds me when you were saying about the threats, how they threaten people, that you can only learn from us or from a sage or whatever. But I heard someone the other day on a so-called Christian television network, and they were telling people that you have to give this $1,000, and you know what happens. Now, the Holy Spirit just told me that there's 50 of you out there, and you know what happens if you disobey God. Now, I'm not telling you anything bad's going to happen, but I'm telling you that if you disobey God in this, and it was totally demonic, totally demonic, this kind of manipulation. God never called His people to be ruled over by any human beings. And because Jesus is the head of the church. We are all on an equal basis, pastors, evangelists, teachers, apostles, prophets, everyone's on an equal basis. God doesn't have any favorite people, and he doesn't put anybody over anybody, because he is over us. And we see that how quickly people can go back into bondage. You get born again, and then you allow yourself to go back into some kind of bondage, like this movement. It sounds like bondage, and then you go to now I presume that a lot of these people go to some of these messianic congregations.
Only,
where
they
have a rabbi.
On the Sabbath, mind you. Not on Sunday, on the Sabbath.
Right.
You have to be a Sabbath keeper.
You have to be a Sabbath keeper, right.
Yes, and not only do you have to be a Sabbath keeper, you have to... It's a very Kabbalistic Sabbath where you do it a certain way and you gain certain enlightenment by a certain ritual in which you do that night to bring forth the power of God into your life.
So what is that? So are you saying that on Friday night before the Sabbath there's a special thing they do?
Mm-hmm. Right.
What is that?
I'm not sure exactly the whole ritual that they do, but it is very mystical. And the reason for keeping the Sabbath is not only because it's in the Torah that you have to keep the Sabbath, but it also is in Kabbalah is a mystical entrance for God and his Godhood to raise you to a higher plane of consciousness. Yeah, it's very mystical, and I don't know the exact formulations of what they do, other than I know the sacred name movement will say these sacred names properly over and over again.
Oh, on Friday night they do this?
I don't know if the sacred name will do that Friday night, but yes, on Kabbalistic meditations they will do this, and they do this on some of the Sabbath, but that's not the
What about the Hebrew Roots movement? Do they adhere to this also?
Yeah, there is the Hebrew Roots movement now has become an umbrella for a lot of the other sects underneath it. So the Hebrew Roots movement that used to be one movement now is several, and some of the ones that I mentioned. The one I haven't really gotten into yet, which I really am excited about studying, is the Kingdom of Yah, because on their first page of their website, it says that we are going to go to a higher plane, and that God, Yeshua, not God, forgive me, I said God, or if they say God, it's G.
Oh, yeah, it's G-D.
G-D.
No,
G-D. Sounds bad. G-D.
I know, I'm like... Well, sometimes I get emails from people, and I see that, and I'm like,
But
enjoy your freedom in Christ, please. Why do you want to put yourself back into bondage with this kind of nonsense?
But it's kind of fun to. I mean, I was reading my coworker at work. I was reading to her this website. She was a Christian, fortunately. So, and we have fun with this because we've been studying. You know, on Blog Talk Radio has lots of different things you can study.
Yeah.
You can listen to kinds of shows. And
yeah, Blog Talk Radio has some very good hosts
very
and hostesses that you can learn a lot from. You know,
yes.
God's made an avenue. He's made an alternative to these heretical so-called Christian TV programs and most of these radio stations where they won't allow you to teach the truth. So God made a way,
right.
And thank God, because we can be on the Internet, and we're reaching the whole world.
Yeah,
we don't have to even leave the house to do it, and it's a wonderful, wonderful thing. So I encourage people out there, if you want to get a program, go to Blog Talk Radio and get yourself a program and start ministering to people, because you can reach thousands of people, and you're blessing people. They're hungry for truth. They realize that they're in some of these churches and they're in some of these movements and something's wrong. And they just want somebody to tell them, yes, something is wrong. There's nothing wrong with you because you think something's wrong. You notice that when you're in a cult or you're in one of these groups, one of these churches, these bondage churches, you question things, and then people tell you, oh, you must not question. God forbid you should think for yourself and use your mind. Like you're doing something wrong. Yeah, and then you're shunned. Then you get shunned by other people. And so who cares? The only person that really matters, let me tell you something, is the only friend that you'll ever really have is Jesus Christ. He's going to stick with you. So even if you lose every friend in the world, so what? What did they do for you? Did they die on the cross for you? Did your pastor die on the cross for you? Did your church die on the cross for you? No. What really matters is the truth of God's word. That's what really matters, and to take a stand for the truth of God's word. Truth is important.
And those who are listening that have an apologetic bent like I do, you can even go to the internet and you can, instead of stepping into somebody's church, you can actually step into their church by listening to it on Blog Talk Radio, and you can hear what they're saying, because I've been studying all kinds of sects and groups. And when I studied Kabbalah, when I was first studying Kabbalah, I actually listened to somebody on Blog Talk Radio teach about it. And I tell you, I was so lost because the words they used, I didn't even understand them.
Yeah.
And boy, I'm going to have to go read this first, some basic stuff, so that I understand what they're saying, because
well,
I don't understand
that the
thing.
Is the way they do it. That is the way they do it, is they it's a spirit of confusion. They like to keep people confused. So then, yes, you never understand what they're saying. So then you have to go to the guru or the sage or the pastor or somebody or the priest or whoever and ask them to please tell you what the books mean or what the Bible means or whatever. Of course, it's okay to ask questions, because there may be some things you don't understand in the Bible. But you need to study to show yourself approved. All of us have to be responsible for our own salvation, for our own Bible study, to allow the Holy Spirit to teach you and minister to you so you can grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. It takes a long time to wash your head out, like the Bible talks about washing, with the water of the Word. And it takes years to wash all this stuff out of your head that you've learned throughout the years, the false teachings, the idolatry that we were a part of. I know myself, being a part of the Word of Faith movement, and the idolatry I had for some of these teachers and speakers. And so we're all in a growing process. But the good thing is, for the people that want to grow, and for the people that, because you notice that, you see, if you start debating some of these people on some topics, they can get very angry. Oh, they love to hold on to these false teachings.
I try to avoid debating those.
Yeah.
Get really angry, because you're not debating them anymore. And I really enjoy debating people that I disagree with that can debate properly.
Yes.
Without getting, attacking you as a person.
Yes.
So
And that's important. I think that's very important. That's what I try to do on this program, is I might not agree 100% with what some of my guests are talking about, but I'm open to listen to it. And of course, I'm not going to have anybody on it that doesn't proclaim Jesus Christ as the only way. I would probably not have a guest on like that. But I think there are certain things that we can talk about, and it's not going to affect anyone's salvation. But of course, what we're talking about today can affect somebody's salvation. This whole Hebrew roots movement involved in mysticism and the occult. And yes, that can harm someone.
Yeah, and I really pay attention to those kind of groups and sects that will lead people away from Jesus, or to another Jesus. Like Jehovah's Witnesses have a Jesus, but it's a different Jesus, and it's not the Jesus that was proclaimed in Scripture, even though they say that they identify the person in the Scriptures as Jesus. But if he is really Michael the Archangel before he came to earth, then he is no longer the Jesus that was proclaimed in Scripture.
Yeah.
So
that's
so,
like, what Jesus are you talking about?
Yeah.
Now the what is the what is the real premise behind the Hebrew Roots movement? What are they trying to accomplish?
They're trying to get to a pure kind of worship to God. It starts off very innocently where, you know, and then those are the ones that attract it. They start with, let's study the roots of Scripture so that we can understand the Bible better.
The Hebrew roots.
Correct.
Yes,
and I love to do that. I think it's important when you read the Scripture of, you know, to understand who the person, you know, Paul was writing to, or to whom Jesus was speaking to at the time. He was speaking to the Jews. Was he speaking to a Gentile? I mean, I have five questions I always ask when I read the Scripture, and I ask them to myself. I ask them who, what, why, when, where, and how. Well, the sixth one is how. You know, and so but I think it's very important to understand the culture, especially when there's a disagreement in theology with someone, like, for example, is when you die, is there a conscious, do you exist consciously when you die, or are you annihilated and you don't exist anymore? So when you have a debate with somebody that thinks that way, you have to know what the Scripture actually says. So a lot of times you have to go back and say, well, how did the Jews understand death? What did it mean? Well, you know what? The Hebrew word for death meant to separate. That means, oh, when you die, you separate from your body.
Yeah.
When you ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you were spiritually separated from God immediately. So, I understand that Hebrew word means to separate when you come to a discussion such as that. But what they do is they take apart piece by piece Hebrew words, like, for example, Yah is Y-H-A-Y-A-H, Yahushua. They put all these Hebrew words that they separated together, which makes no sense after it's put together, you know, but they go into the depths of this word. It's like micromanaging each and every little word of the Hebrew.
You
were that the path. It's the micromanaging of all these words that's the path.
Well, the
God.
Thing is,
and
whoever is following this movement, I would say after 10 years, they would probably be ready for a straitjacket.
No, they what they say is, we're smarter than you are.
Oh, I don't
That's
think
That's what they
so.
Say.
It just sounds like total confusion. So why won't they say the name of Jesus?
Because they believe it's actually a pagan name, so they don't want to utter that. And what Kabbalah says is that you have to utter these words are very powerful, and they you know, just like in the name it and claim it, you know.
Yeah. Be careful what you say. Don't say that.
But it's Hebronized. It's Kabbalistic.
Yeah, I remember when I came out of it and I had a cold. I have a cold. I could say it. And it wouldn't come upon me because it was already on me anyway. It's like they tell people, don't say you have cancer. Well, I already have it, so don't say I have it. How did I get it? Did I confess? I want cancer, and I got cancer. So, I mean,
it's probably
bondage.
Confession denial is what it's called.
Yeah. How did I get it in the first place? Did I confess I want cancer? Okay, so now that I have it, or I have this disease, did I confess that I want this? And so now I can't say that I have it, because if I say that I have it, I'm going to keep it. And
right.
Yeah.
And now the Hebrew Roots movement will take that to a different level or a different perspective, meaning if you respect God enough, you're going to say his right name at the proper time, in the proper context, because that's part of your path to him. And you need to say his name respectfully. Even Jehovah's Witnesses do that too. They say, well, you need to know the name, the real name of Jehovah, because, you know, what if somebody came to you and called you by a title and didn't know your name? He wants you to respect him by calling him by his
name. Oh, I know. So, I had somebody do that one time when I just said Jesus, and she said, how come you don't say the Lord Jesus? And don't you think you're being disrespectful? And I didn't look at it that way. I never was just saying the name Jesus to be disrespectful to anyone. Especially to Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. But I think people can get so hung up in all these little things that it's not going to affect your salvation, how you say the Lord's name. And I don't know why people spend so much time on things that don't matter and make an issue.
Why they create things that are, to matter that shouldn't matter,
Yeah, absolutely. Like, instead of spending time on winning souls or doing something constructive, to waste time on such foolishness, it just doesn't make any sense.
Well, when I get somebody who says, I know Greek, or using Greek words on me. They don't say they know Greek, but they're using these Greek words on me, which I have no idea even how to pronounce these Greek words. Okay, and so they come in to me with these Greek words, and they sound so intelligent, and I go, do you speak Greek? And they go, no. I said, well, who did you learn that from then? How do you know that that's what it means? He said, well, because some so-and-so taught me that that's what it says. Well, okay, so where'd they get it from? Oh, well, maybe it's from this book or whatever. And I was like, oh, who wrote the book? And then I go, okay, well, you and I are on the same playing field now, because I don't speak Greek, you don't speak Greek. So we need to go to sources that actually know how to speak Greek. So my Greek that I've gotten says this about your Greek, and your Greek is incorrect. So, you want to make it complicated, let's actually make the playing field equal first.
Right.
Because you're no more intelligent than I am, and let's be honest about that fact. And, it pops a lot of people's bubbles when they realize that I'm caught. I'm not as smart as I want to try to sound like I am. And so when they, when somebody comes to you with all these Hebrew words and they say, well, you need to really get yourself connected with a Hebrew roots church or a sacred name church, because you need to know, and we are better than you, because we understand it. You really need to get this. Yeah. There's this cockiness that comes
around. Sure it is. It's pride. It sounds like the devil. It sounds like the devil, because it's nothing but pride. We have the secrets. So, no, you don't have the secrets. Just get out your Bible and start with, you can start with Genesis, or you can start with Matthew, and read line upon line, and find out what the Word of God says for yourself.
And don't try to micromanage the Word.
Yeah.
Just let I am a literalist, I have to say. I will read the scripture and I will believe what it says until it tells me like it's an allegory or a metaphor. And it's pretty, the scriptures are pretty good at telling you when this is a tithe and when this is not a tithe.
Yeah.
And so I say, well, let's read it as though it happened, and let God reveal himself to me, not what, if somebody approaches the Bible with thinking, well, I don't know if God is a loving God, if there's a hell. So I have to see if I can find if, God did create a hell or whatever, because, I don't think he's very loving. You can't really read the scriptures that way. You have to say, I want to know this God, and if there's a hell, I want to know why. And, if there's all this, I want to understand him as he reveals himself, not as we hope he does, or try to find scripture that supports
what our
feelings are.
Yeah, that's very true.
People go by their feelings, and then they you know, read the scripture, and they said, well, the Holy Spirit told me this. And I was like, how can the Holy Spirit tell you that when the other scripture says this? You know,
that's
it doesn't,
true.
You know, it doesn't necessarily, you know, you have to, if you really want to understand the God that wrote the scriptures, that I believe is God inspired the scriptures, if you want to get to know him, you got to get to know him as he revealed himself. You know, because people will get into all these topics. You know, I debate the Trinity. Well, yeah, you know what? Maybe I don't know how to explain the Trinity completely and totally. But you know what? I can prove it's there. I can prove that scripture, that God reveals himself as this, even though we don't understand completely.
Right.
But it is there, and it's there.
It is
like
there.
200 scriptures I can say is there that says that. And so, you know, for me to say, well, just because this one says this, you know, and then it contradicts itself later, I'm going to stand on this one. You can't do that way. And that's how people get into these off-the-wall movements. And that's how you can get into something like that sounds really smart, like the Hebraic Roots movement. Sounds really, really cool and smart. And if I didn't know the scriptures like I know them, I would be, whoa, yeah, let me get into this study of the Hebrew and the understanding of it. And until you know what you're reading just face to face and know the simple message of the gospel.
Yeah, the simple message. You just keep it simple. It's the best way, because it's the same thing where I can understand in the sense where these people are coming from, because when I was born again, I attended a small Baptist church, and then I got sidetracked over in the Word of Faith movement. That lasted a long time before I finally realized that I had to break away from that and try to relearn so many things. It was my own fault, really, but it's so simple, too, to get trapped in these movements, because it's pride, and, oh, after all, we know all these things, and we have the right confession, and we do, and it's so awful. But that's the thing that you have to really look out for, is that pride, because when the Bible, like the Bible says, when pride comes, then comes a fall, then comes destruction. It can really, really hurt you, and all of us have to be careful of that. It's a real trap. It's a real trap, and that's like this whole movement where someone wants to rule over you. And I know we didn't even really scratch the surface of this, because I have so many more questions. I mean, I know we need to do another program.
Yeah, and I'm also going to take a time after, you know, I'm also going to take the time to do a couple two-hour shows, one separating, one just talking about Kabbalah, and then one talking about the Hebraic Roots movement.
There's a lot of things that people need to know about, because I know I have some friends myself that are involved in this movement. So,
well, I'm going to do that on As the Day Approaches. And I was actually ending my Israel study, but because of this whole thing that is burning in my heart, I'm going to have to do these two more shows on that. So
people can tune in. Now tell people about your website. We just have a few minutes left, and about your radio program, how they can find you.
Okay, well, I am the host of As the Day Approaches, and that's on Blog Talk Radio. I do my series shows on Friday. I'm hoping to actually do some more during the week. I really want to do like a shorter show on false teachings, like take a topic and just talk about that for maybe half hour, you know, maybe even have people call in and ask questions about it. So that's in the works. I also have a website, asthedaybroaches.com, and I have a couple group Facebook pages that I administer, and that is As the Day Approaches. I have a group page for that, so you can discuss what we've been talking about or post things that have to do with last days. And this is a prophecy show. I also address all these other topics as well, you know, false teachings and cults. But I also have a group Facebook site called False Teachings, Identifying Them. And lo and behold, it attracts a lot of people who have false teachings. And
they
Yeah, they come and they post their false teachings, and I will identify them. This is a false teaching, or I'll discuss it, and sometimes they just, you know, will go on, and it's a real discussion page. A lot of people on some of these groups will just post and post and post, but I stop and discuss it, and we've had debates a lot.
That keeps you busy. That keeps you really busy. That's enough to
right?
keep you busy.
Yeah, and some of them I choose not to really get into discussion. Like, a lot of people will get frustrated with me because I really don't get into talking about pre, post, mid tribulation round and round and round and round.
Because that doesn't affect your salvation. So
yes, and I believe them all.
I won't argue with people about certain things. I'm just not going to argue with you because it's not going to affect your salvation. But when there's something that can affect your relationship with Jesus Christ, then yes, the topic needs to be debated. But everyone, please. Go to her Facebook page, her radio program on Blog Talk Radio, As the Day Approaches, her website, asthedayapproaches.com, because she's got some great information. You'll really learn a lot from her because she spent hours. I know what it takes to learn about these topics. But let's close out the program, Brenda, with a word of prayer, if you wouldn't mind praying for our listeners today.
I thank you, Lord, for giving us the opportunity to just talk about issues that normally people probably wouldn't even think about talking about, but you care about every little detail. You care about these things that people are getting wrapped up in, and you especially care when people are being drawn away from you and your simple message of Christ's salvation and Christ who, you know, died and crucified. There you go. What Paul says is that I preach Christ crucified and rose from the dead. And so I pray for every listener who maybe is involved in something like this, that you, Lord, will give them wisdom, you will give them discernment, that you will give them a desire to seek after you in a simple gospel of Jesus. Anything that leads away or even takes attention away from you as Lord, I pray that you'll give them conviction and that your Holy Spirit will lead them back to the truth, Lord. And anyone who doesn't know you, I pray, oh God, that you will bring them into the knowledge of your Son, Jesus, and that through a simple confession of sin and turning and coming to Jesus, because that's what it takes, is coming to him and receiving forgiveness of your sins, receiving a new life and making him Lord of your life to direct you and guide you all the days of your life and change you from the inside out. And I ask you, Lord, to help them to come to you, the only salvation for our sins. And I ask this in Jesus' name, and I'm not ashamed to say Jesus.
Amen. I'm not ashamed either. Hallelujah. I want to thank you so much, Brenda. It's always a joy to talk to you, and I learned so much today, and I thank you for your ministry. God bless you and keep you.
And you too. Thank you.
You too.
Thanks for the opportunity.
Bye for now. Yeah.
Bye-bye. God bless.
Okay. Thank you. All right, everybody, thanks for tuning in today. Another great program. I'm so blessed to be able to do this program and to be able to talk to these people. The guests that come on my program, they bless me so much, and I want to thank every single one of my guests that have appeared on Prophetic News. Don't forget to tune in next week at 1 o'clock. We were a little late today, but our usual time is 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time every Saturday. So please tune in again next week, and God bless you. Don't forget, Jesus Christ does love you with all his heart. He loves you so much that he gave his life for you. And you can know peace and joy unspeakable and full of glory, by accepting Jesus Christ today and asking him to come into your life and change your life. He can forgive you of all your sins and give you eternal life. Yes, there is a heaven and there is a hell. Accept Jesus Christ today. Here we go.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there.